adversary. And if you have a high opinion of yourself, you probably will not like this program either. But we hope you stay tuned. You can reach us by phone at area code 847-312-4676. Or you can go to our website at crossandthrone.com. Now, on our website, we have some stuff for you that is quite a treat. We have the greatest Bible translation on planet Earth, the Concordant Literal New Testament. And we also have the Concordant Commentary of the New Testament. These two tools alone will give you a greater education than if you went to seminary for 20 years. I know I say that all the time, but I think it's true. And we also have some other good material on there. Sign up for our newsletter. And you can also download these programs and listen to these programs for free on our website. Well, we are in Romans chapter 2, and our subject of justification, as we pointed out before, God is demonstrating that both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin in Romans 1 and 2. And now in chapter 2, we're dealing with the Jew. And in verse 1 and 2, we see, "Wherefore defenseless are you, O man, everyone who is judging? For in what you are judging another, you are condemning yourselves, for you who are judging are committing the same things." Now, we are aware that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who are committing such things. Now, the Jew could not escape his indictment here. He looked at the Gentile, and we saw in chapter 1 his idolatry and all the things that he had done. But the Jewish race was just as guilty as of these same exact sins. They had worshipped the golden calf, and if you get a chance, read Psalm 106 and Exodus 32 and 34, and they were guilty of the same things. The argument here is proving that even though a man like the Gentiles in Romans 1, it says they were committing and endorsing, well, the Jews were judging. Not endorsing, but they were still committing. Some people have the idea if you're speaking evil against sin, you're okay. You may be practicing it, but that's okay if you speak evil of it or you're against it. But if you're against sin and you commit it, you're no different than somebody who commits it and endorses it. And that's a great lesson. The man who judges others must be prepared to submit to the same judgment himself. There is no surer way of condemning yourself than by sitting in judgment on those who commit the sins of which you are guilty. In the day of judgment, there will be little need to call witness against mankind, for their own reasonings among themselves and the standards of justice, however low, which they apply to their neighbors, are sufficient to condemn all. Pardon me. We don't edit these things out here, so sorry for that. The constant effort to uplift humanity ignores the true cause of human depravity. These things are the result of refusing to recognize God. One of the most alarming signs of modern times is the increasing desire to eliminate all reference to God in every sphere of life. Education must be strictly godless. Business has no place for God. Society shuns all mention of him, and even many of the so-called churches have little more than a formal recognition of an unknown God. We must be prepared far more and more. We must be prepared for more and more of the crime waves which periodically surge over the earth, as well as the complete breakdown of the moral fiber of so-called civilization. That's a quote from the Concordant commentary in the New Testament there, and those are sober words. Well, the point here in Romans 2 is he's bringing the Jew in the court. And in verse 3 we read this, "Yet are you reckoning on this, O man, who are judging those committing such things and are doing the same, that you will be escaping the judgment of God?" And we pointed before, and I think again, he has the Jew in mind, and of course we can apply it today, but the Jews would judge the Gentiles for committing the things they did. And they felt because they were judging that they would escape the judgment of God. Now that's a strange doctrine. They felt that because they had the law of God and they knew right from wrong and they judged the Gentiles, that they somehow would escape God's judgment. It goes on in verse 4, are you despising the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, being ignorant that the kindness of God is leading you to repentance? And he's pointing out here, he's saying, don't worry about the Gentile, God's kindness is leading you Jews to repentance. Yet, in accord with your hardness, Yet in accord with your hardness and unrepentant heart, you are hoarding for yourself indignation in the day of indignation and revelation of the just judgment of God. Now, in chapter 1, we talked about God's indignation. It was his indignation against all irreverence and injustice of men, and it was demonstrated by the subsequent problems that took place among humanity, and God giving them over to depraved lusts and so forth. But here, this indignation is future. Friends, there is coming a day on this earth which is called the Day of Indignation. We call it, you find it in the book of the Unveiling, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book of the New Testament. We see a time of indignation when God will be judging the world in righteousness through the man whom he has ordained. And in that day, both Jews and Gentiles as a whole will be judged. This is what this is referring to. And in the day of indignation and revelation of the just judgment of God. Now, you and I today, if you're a believer in Christ, if God has given you that faith and you've trusted the saviorhood of Christ and his finished work on Calvary, if you trusted in that, if you believed on that, you are saved from the coming indignation. The body of Christ will be rescued out of this earth before the time of indignation, called back to heaven, and then the time of indignation will be poured out on this earth sometime after that. I'm not sure how long. So here he says, the day of indignation and revelation of the just judgment of God. God has a just system of judgment, friends, a just one. God's judgments, by the way, are corrective in the Bible. They're not final. Some people think that God's whole purpose of existence is to torture people for eternity. No, God's judgments are just, and they have a goal. They have a purpose. God doesn't just judge because he's, wants to beat people around, but he has a just system of judgment. And it says, who will be paying each one in accord with his acts. To those indeed who by endurance and good acts are seeking glory and honor and incorruption, life aeonian. So the man, now he's going to give the basis of God's judgment. God, here he's laying out the basis of God's judgment. If God is going to judge based on acts, and this is how he does it. Those indeed who by endurance, that means they keep going, in good acts, they're always doing them, are seeking glory, honor, and incorruption, life aeonian, life for the ages. If a man is always doing good works and he's doing this through endurance, God will give that man life aeonian. Now we're going to see later on in Romans that man is not doing that, and that's why God has to send his son to provide deliverance, because man is not enduring in good acts. Then he says, yet to those of faction, that means they're arguing, and stubborn indeed as to the truth, yet persuaded to injustice, indignation and fury. So those who are stubborn concerning the truth and persuaded to injustice, and we just saw in Romans 1, the Gentiles were stubborn. They had the knowledge of God and creation. Instead, they went to injustice, and the Jews had the knowledge of God and the law, and yet they went to injustice. They will receive indignation and fury, affliction and distress on every human soul which is effecting evil. It doesn't matter whether you're against evil or for it. If you're affecting evil, according to here, you're going to be judged. You're in trouble. And I'm sure none of us here will say that we are not affecting evil. We have somehow always done endurance and good acts. The answer is no. All sinned and come short of the glory of God, or wanting of it. And he goes here, both of the Jew first and of the Greek, yet glory and honor and peace to every worker of good, both to the Jew first and to the Greek. And so both classes of people, Jew and Greek, are going to be judged on their acts. Now I want to read to you from the concordant commentary some comments regarding this verse. In verse 6 through 11, this is what the commentary says. It says, it is well to consider the basis on which the judgment of mankind will proceed. It is not all one-sided. God will not only sentence the evil, but reward the good, if such there be. You see that? That there are none to claim his rewards does not alter the great fact which is here laid down as the just basis of God's dealing with mankind. He will be paying each one according to his acts. No one can say this is not just and right. He is just as ready to reward the good as to punish the bad. All that is needed is someone to live up to the standard, and he will give such a one life for the eons, the same life which those who believe get through Christ as a gratuitous gift. To say that it is idle to speak this way, since no one can possibly claim such an award, betrays a misapprehension of the underlying purpose of judgment. This is not, as commonly supposed, the condemnation of wrongdoers, but rather the payment of what is due, good as well as bad, that so the justice of God's character may be revealed. Judgment as a revelation of God would be most misleading if it made no provision for reward as well as punishment. If no one is able to claim the reward, it will not change the essential fact that such a righteous foundation underlies God's throne. And that's a true statement. And then he continues in verse 11 and 12 and says, "For there is no partiality with God, for whoever sinned without law also shall perish, and whoever sinned in law, through law will be judged." And the point being here is that whether the Jew had the law, and that was his standard, so he's going to be judged on the basis of that light that he had. The Gentiles had no law, and they will be judged based on the light that they have. Law does not exempt from judgment. It only fixes the standard of judgment. Knowledge of the law only incriminates more deeply those who break it. And he says, "For not the listeners of the law are just with God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." Israel was given this great law. They boasted in the possession of it, but we're going to see, as these Romans 2 and part of 3 tells us, that even though they possessed the law, they did not do it. And so they can judge the Gentiles all they wanted to for their wickedness, and they are wicked, we are wicked, but the Jew, even though they had the law, was no better. And we'll pick up on this thought next time. Thank you for joining us. If you have any questions, please feel free to call us. Our number here is area code 847-312-4676. Give us a call or go to our website at crossandthrone.com. That's crossandthrone.com. Get a copy from our website of the Concordant Literal New Testament and the Concordant Commentary. Get a copy of these two things. You need them, friends. Best Bible translation ever, and not misleading through false renderings. Also, get a copy of Martin Zender's book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. This is a book, if you have weaknesses, this is the book for you, and it'll give you some freedom, trust me. Well, until next time, I gotta run, but until next time, believe God no matter what the clergy tell you. Well, it started out.